I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Earlier this week, I talked with NPR Special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter Gault. The newly elected president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, is calling for the extradition of the country's former president, Charles Taylor, from Nigeria. Taylor, among other things, is accused of being a gunrunner in the disastrous civil war in Sierra Leone. More from Charlene Hunter Gault on the significance of the extradition struggle.
Well, this is one of the open wounds of, in fact, the whole region. I mean, Charles Taylor is a descendant from that elite group of Americans who went to Liberia to set up a free country. And, you know, they were the founders of Liberia back in the 19th century, and they're called Americo-Liberians. But Charles Taylor is also called a warlord and a murderer. He is accused of backing rebels from the notorious Revolutionary United Front in Sierra Leone. I'm sure that most of our listeners heard about or saw or read about the sort of notorious human rights violations that took place during that conflict. They tortured, they raped, and I guess the thing that is the awful signature of that conflict is of the women and children, little babies, and men as well, whose limbs were chopped off by these rebels. And these are people Charles Taylor is accused of supporting from 1991 to 2002. And so now the United Nations-backed War Crimes Tribunal wants him tried on 17 counts of war crimes. The tribunal wants to bring him to Sierra Leone and have him stand accused and defend himself.
What's the position of African leaders, including Nigeria's President Obasanjo?
Well, initially, Nigerian President Obasanjo offered Taylor asylum in his country, Nigeria, but more recently, he has been in conversations with leaders around the continent to, in fact, arrange Taylor's return to Liberia. He hasn't definitively said he's going to do it, but he's moved closer to doing it than when he first accepted Taylor in his country.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that story, but we want to move to the other side of the continent, East Africa. You were recently in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, on a mission for the Committee to Protect Journalists. Now, I understand that some journalists were charged with genocide. How did that happen, Charlene?
That's right. Well, I'm a board member of the Committee to Protect Journalists, and for those of you who don't know, it's an organization that monitors the press around the world and advocates for press freedom, interceding in countries where governments are not committed to that value. Now, Ethiopia's Prime Minister, Meles Zenawi, insists he is committed to a free press. I met with him for 2 hours, and the Prime Minister told us that relations between the government and the private press were now just poisonous. Now, this whole atmosphere is the result of arrests of scores of opposition leaders and journalists in June and November. Some 80 people died because of street protests that turned violent, and the government blamed the demonstrators, political opposition parties, and the media, and accused the journalists of being agents of the opposition, charging 14 of them with treason, trying to overthrow the constitutional order, and inciting genocide. Now, those are charges which carry the death penalty. And I visited some of the journalists in prison. I mean, the government did, in fact, open up to us. They allowed us to go to the prison. And yet, you know, the journalists are there being held without bail, and they all insisted on the innocence. They say that they are often viewed as mouthpieces of the opposition because the government won't talk to them, so the only people they report on is the opposition. That's their side of the story. And we talked to the Prime Minister about it, and we pleaded with him to allow all of them to go free, but especially pregnant journalists, two pregnant women, and one at least has been released on bail. And we also got a pledge from the Prime Minister that all of these people would have their day in court in fair and proper trials. Let me hasten to say that there are very few private papers operating in Ethiopia. The rest, as well as radio and TV, are government controlled. And while the government recently granted licenses to two private radio stations, they're not up and running yet.
So is there any good news coming out of the continent this week?
Well, actually, we can stay right there in East Africa because on Wednesday, some of the charges were dropped against the opposition, against some of the opposition leaders, some of those more serious ones like genocide and threatening to overthrow the constitutional order. And on the journalistic front, we don't know yet how many of the journalists that we visited with and knew about have been released, but we know that some of the charges were dropped, all of the charges were dropped involving five journalists who were being tried in absentia. They were employed by the Voice of America, and I think that they're back in the United States. So that's a bit of good news. And as we told the Prime Minister, we were not there to beat up on him or to necessarily take the side of the journalists, but our interest was in the whole democratic project because, you know, Ethiopia, like many countries on the continent now, are in the first baby steps of their democracies. And, you know, we want to see those succeed. And of course, to have them succeed, there has to be a free press.
That's a great note to leave it on, Charlene. And Charlene Hunter-Galt is NPR's special Africa correspondent. She joined us from South Africa. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Farai.